Now playing Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird or wonderful questions about it. I am your host, Sam Hooley, and as you can tell by the name of this podcast, we are doing the film Booksmart. And if you're going to do a film like Booksmart, you need to get in somebody that isn't Booksmart and cooks the books. How are you doing, Machu?
Oh, hey, I'm not doing too bad, and that's a pretty apt description. For a job, all I do is cook books.
It is.
So if you want an accountant that will tell you what you want to hear, it's exactly who I am and what I do.
I love professionals that tell me what I want to hear. I've got a few of those. The other one we've got joining us, well, she is book smart. She's also just smart, and she's also bookie book. How are you doing, Liz?
I was good until you just said I was bookie book. What does that even mean?
How the fuck do I know?
I would agree 100% though that I'm book smart, absolutely. And yeah, every kind of smart. I'm pretty amazing, generally speaking.
Yes, a lot of our listeners have commented on how much you talk about how awesome you are. So,
oh, I thought you were going to say that. I was all excited.
Did you also go
like, wow, she's really amazing? No, they just know that I think I'm amazing. Look, if I don't toot my own trumpet, then who is going to? And no, Machu, that is not a euphemism.
So, yeah, guys, the film this week, we are continuing our run of films directed by a woman, this one being Booksmart, directed by the amazingly talented Olivia Wilde, starring, well, the main two actresses are Caitlin Dever as Amy and Bina Feldstein as Molly. Also in it is Jessica Williams as Miss Fine, Jason Sudeikis as Principal Brown, Lisa Kudrow as Charmaine, and Will Forte as Doug, aka Amy's parents, and Dana Silvers as Hope. Not to mention Molly Gordon as AAA. I know you want to talk about her much, but we'll get to it in a little while.
Basically, a list of people not many people really know much about.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa Kudrow was huge once.
Yeah. They pulled someone in there, so you recognise someone.
Yeah. So what's up next? It's the plot, and who's seen it most recently? It's Liz. Liz has watched it, what, half an hour before we recorded this?
Yeah, at most 45 minutes. I meant to watch it last night, but I think I still would have lost in this battle. So, yeah. Let me explain the plot. One moment.
No reading off your page there, Liz. We can see you through this fucking thing, man.
No, I'm just checking the names of the characters. Okay, so there are two high school girls who are just about to finish high school. Amy, who is like a social justice warrior and also a lesbian who hasn't yet had a chance to actually find out what the having sex with girls is like. And Molly, who was like class president and like the super eager and hardworking girl who comes to the realization that they both basically worked too hard during high school because everyone else got into these amazing colleges the same as them, but they actually had a life as well as study. So the two girls decide that they need to go off and have a party on the night before they graduate.
Yeah.
And they go to a few different parties and all fun was had and lesbian good times.
It's basically a biographical film of me and Liz going to school. Yeah. I was a lesbian who still hasn't known the feeling of a woman yet, so.
Wait, so which one were you, Machu?
Oh, yeah.
The pizza driver, man.
Yes, he is the Valley Strangler.
He is the pizza driver.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, we solved that one early.
I do have a weapon in my glove box.
Oh, God. You know a blade has to be more than 3 inches before it gets rejected before getting onto an airplane, so don't even say
that. Is that how you pass
weapons
through the metal detectors, Jeeves? Yeah. That's the key, eh? Just keep it under three.
That's the one. That is the one. Anywho, let's move on. Welcome, Liz, to the first time you've ever been on an episode of Machu. Don't worry, it gets worse from here.
I thought I was mentally prepared, but
no.
I'm not sure I am.
You've heard the filtered versions, Liz. That's the problem here. You've heard the filtered versions. The podcast where I record like for 4 hours and then put out 45 minutes. So, yeah.
I'm shit on the podcast, but I'm even worse when we go through the full episode.
Yeah.
Joke's on me, I guess.
Anyway, the next part of this podcast is we look at the reviews for this movie and then give our own before we start getting into the questions. Now, Metacritic at 84%, Rotten Tomatoes at 97%, IMDb at 7.2 out of 10. But, Liz, what would you give this as a score out of 10,000 pandas?
Oh, yes, I wanted to go with pandas.
Stuffed pandas.
This may surprise you, but 6,838 pandas.
Whoa! You're tough.
Well, no, I would give higher marks to things. This movie just didn't do it for me as much as I thought it might. And that could be your fault, which we've already talked about.
Yes,
you know,
it is my fault.
For me. But I don't know. It just, the I maybe it was the dialogue or something. It just didn't have the amusing value that like Superbad did. Or
oh, we'll get into it a bit more in our first question. What about you, Machu? Yeah. What would you give us a score out of 10,000 pandas?
I went a bit higher. Went with around just above the IMDb. IMDb's. We're there already, team. I had 7,310 comfy pandas.
I'm about 7,444. Yeah. Just a little bit higher than you.
You loved it.
Yeah, I did.
You were going to be like 9,000.
Nah. I've got to dial back my scores a bit. I've been a bit too...
After Little Woman, nothing can compare.
Yeah.
What did you give Little Woman?
Oh, like by the end, I gave it 9,500. And I thought I was being sarcastic, but people thought I was serious.
Yeah,
people
I thought you were serious.
People legitimately thought Little Woman's a good movie. That's right.
No, I thought you were serious, and I was having the conversation with you. I was like, wow.
What's wrong with
we've
you,
changed
Sam?
Sam's mind.
Exactly. I'm not serious. That movie's like 11,000 out of 10,000. Sure. And also, to everyone out there, let's address the elephant in the room. I know the COVID virus is incredibly problematic at the moment, and by listening to this podcast, you're probably choosing not to hear anybody rant and rave about it, so our hearts go out to anyone that's affected by it. That's the elephant in the room, done and dusted. We don't need to talk about it, do we, guys?
Slightly awkward because I might be bringing it up in one of the questions. but other than that, I'll totally talk about nothing else. But only a smidge.
This is why I don't try to do anything pointed on this podcast.
Sorry. It's literally infecting every stage of my life right now.
It is.
Infecting. I didn't even do that on purpose. Infecting. But yes, I agree. Like, it's a terrifying thing that's going on. And I just, yeah, you can't get away from it, can you?
Yeah.
So we'll do our best to stay away from it for at least the vast majority of the podcast.
Exactly. As I said, I feel like you guys are tuned in just for us to talk some shit and take your mind off it. And let's just try and do that. Sorry from Liz. anywho, let's get into the questions. So if you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we start with 10 questions that can be applied to any film, move into 3 personal questions that we thought of while watching this film, and then we finish with a listener question, which you guys have answered for us. So the one that we always start with is a compliment sandwich, which is one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good about this film. Liz is the most sourpuss of the lot of us. Why don't you start us off?
The first thing I really liked was the girls' friendship and how they portrayed it. Like, Molly and Amy were just like such good friends and so supportive of each other. And I just thought that was so nice. Like, it's so nice to see just people really being nice to each other.
Yeah.
Especially in this age of COVID. No, I'm joking. <Damn it. laughs> No, I'm joking. Okay. The thing I found kind of annoying, like pretty much all the other characters were really one-dimensional and flat. Like, I just didn't feel like they're all just kind of their one little zany thing. So that was something I thought was a bit shit. And my other good thing was I thought there was some really cool creativity in the movie, like the dolls and the dance when Molly turns up and like she's dancing with Ryan and whatever. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the scene with the cell phones when they're having the argument. Yeah, there was some quite cool scenes in there, but different.
Yeah, I like that scene how the music dropped. I mean, sorry, the dialogue dropped out. It turned to music and it was like you don't even know what they were saying. It was actually quite a good scene. But yeah, what about you, Munchie?
I'm going to say something, and I hope I redeem myself at the end of this. But I like the plot. I thought the plot was solid. You know, it's about two girls that thought they were better than everyone and turned out they weren't. And they went out.
Yeah, well,
to
I
mix.
Like that they addressed that in the graduation ceremony at the end when she's just like, yeah, I felt like I just had to show you all I was better than you.
Yeah, and then actually she had to sort of drop down to everyone else's level to fit in and also to develop herself. So I guess what I didn't like about this film, the leads were lacking a bit of star power. Like, if you compare this to...
Not Superbad.
Yeah, if you compare this to Superbad, you know, the two leads had massive star power and these two didn't. And I like rooting for, you know, up-and-coming talent, but I just didn't think these girls really nailed that. And the last thing I liked was that it took everything I hate about girls, put it in this movie.
What?
And made it enjoyable. You know, like all those little moments where they compliment themselves, each other, and they over compliment each other. And then I just felt myself like getting into it and laughing along with them. And it was like,
it's awesome when they're just like so overboard. Like, just like,
I was like, I hate this shit.
And oh my God, Machu, your face is literally the best face that I've ever seen in the history of time.
If you were a criminal,
you are the sun.
You just take my breath. If you were a criminal, you would be the best criminal because you just take my breath away.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome. When normally I'd be like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I can ever listen to. But actually, I started getting into it.
See, I love the leads. Like, even though they haven't really been in much themselves, I mean, Caitlin Dever, who plays Amy, was in an incredibly awesome TV series called Unbelievable at the end of the year, but that was after this.
Of course.
Yes.
I couldn't work out where I knew her from. Yes. I was like, she's definitely been in something unbelievable. And she was unbelievably good in that, I thought.
Yeah, she was amazing. And you like totally brought the relationship between them. Like, you could actually see them as best friends. The bad thing for me, Liz, you said it was a good thing. I hated that dance at the end.
I knew you would.
Yes.
I literally thought, as I was watching, I was like, I bet Sam hates this. I wouldn't necessarily like the dance. I just liked that she kind of went outside of the box and went, how can we do this in a bit of a different, quirky way? I thought that was quite cool.
See,
like to give things a try.
So you say that, but my problem with a lot of modern comedies and especially American comedies, well, mostly just American comedies, this happens in it, is that it's like the screenwriter gets to a point where they're like, okay, we need to add like a little 5-10 minutes of runtime to this film. What do? Why don't we have the characters do a crazy dance? This is so lazy.
They've been doing that forever. She's all that.
It's so many films. And the other one is the karaoke. And then when they had them back to back, I was like, oh, why did you guys do this?
Karaoke was good.
Oh,
the karaoke
was great. Yeah. She was amazing.
Oh, she was amazing.
Caitlin Dever, she had a great voice.
Yeah, she was amazing. But the bloody drama student guy.
Oh, that guy, that was awful.
We did exactly.
The hell was
there we go.
I thought it was good.
There we go. We didn't need that shit.
We do. It was hilarious.
Oh, it was definitely too long. The movie was too long.
Well, it's funny you say that. My good thing is that I didn't feel like it outstayed its welcome. I thought it was a perfect runtime.
Clearly, we disagree on a whole bunch of stuff, right? I saw you shaking your heads at the side characters too.
I love
like
them.
They were all fleshed out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Fleshed out.
Triple A. She just liked to, you know, she was like, you know, it's not that bad. Giving guys roadside assistance.
Oh, I didn't know her. I thought actually she was a bit more fleshed out than the others.
Here's the thing. They were caricatures of themselves until they weren't. Until these girls discovered, holy shit, these people aren't actually caricatures of themselves. That's when they suddenly like sort of revealed themselves as true characters. So
I didn't get that. But now I do.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, we're getting it told through their narrative of like, look how one-dimensional these people are. And then as we see them like slowly unravel, like, oh my God, they aren't one-dimensional. You know, Nick starts taking care of Molly and teaching her how to do beer pong and all that sort of stuff, and like roadside assistance.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
AAA
like the
is
the
like,
bitch lesbian actually ends up being like a nice lesbian.
The lesbian
bitch
actually has feelings for her, and like AAA you know, like is a bit more of her to her than that. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, no,
it
that's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just in a bitchy mood today. Who knows?
It's almost like you found out that due to something that we're not talking about, you have to move back from Australia to New Zealand.
Yeah, like just change my whole life in the next week. Yeah, which is totally fine.
But we're not talking about it, so let's move on to question number two. What is it there, Liz?
Question number two. What character should have been replaced with a talking dog?
This is Stacey's favourite question, and that's why we're bringing it back while she's not on episodes. What have you got there, Mitch?
Gigi would be a great talking dog. She was just crazy, and you don't even know if she's real because all this stuff happens. Like, she's pretty rabid when they turn up, and she keeps dragging them into dark rooms or on top of the deck on the boat and jumping off. I mean, that's something
she
a dog would
jumping
do.
In the water.
Yeah.
That's totally what
I am a golden starfish!
Woof, woof, woof. And he's man's best friend, so he keeps hanging out with Jared everywhere. Yeah, I reckon Gigi. Gigi would be a great talking
dog.
Oh,
that's actually a legit call.
Makes sense, makes sense. I just went with the drama nerd. You know, the guy that's organising the mystery. I'm just imagining
Sam, I had the same answer as you on that because, I just found him annoying the entire way through and I just thought maybe he'd be less annoying if he was a cute talking dog.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems possible.
Do you reckon he's annoying?
Thanks, Liz.
I thought he was, funny.
I couldn't stand him.
Oh, he was so irritating.
I couldn't stand him.
Look, you're at an 8. Yeah. I need you at a 2.
What's the next question there, Machu?
So question number 3, what deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film?
Is it very smart to leave your masturbatory aid out in public?
No. Well, I mean, it depends if you don't mind, but she seemed to mind quite a lot.
Yeah. Like
Molly found it. Like, Amy was very upset about it, so probably not a good idea for her.
Yeah, but why would you leave that out in public?
Hiding in plain sight.
No, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm a massive prude.
It's hiding in plain sight. That's what it is.
So can, I'm a mess of prude, so I wouldn't have.
So they can rub it all over their face like her mum does when she picks it up. Oh, I love Miss Ling.
Good not old the face, Ling. Mum. Yeah.
Not ideal.
Anywho, what do you got there, Liz?
So this is the question I was talking about the thing where we're not allowed to talk about it.
Yes.
something I kind of noticed about this film is that it didn't really take place in any kind of actual time frame. Like it, I mean, yeah, the kids were Gen Zers or whatever, and, you know, it was quite modern, but, like, there was no political sort of background. You know, all the kids seemed to be pretty left-wing, all okay with gay people, all, you know, like, there was just no republicanism, there's no Trump. And yeah. I was just like, is it just being relaxing and giving someone, like, an entertainment, you know, something to entertain them, or is it actually a bit lazy to just leave out huge chunks of society? Out of the whole thing. Like, I felt like it was kind of, if you're going to make a movie about a specific time, I just feel like you can't just ignore these massive parts of it. And that kind of is a bit of privilege because those kids don't care about the stuff that's happening. But
yeah.
Honestly, like, I mean, I feel like there should have been some kind of right-wing kid in there. Surely there wouldn't be all those yeah. kids would be all just like, yeah.
They did it really well in Knives Out, eh? They had a couple of right-wing and then they had yeah. some of the family commented very, you know, about immigrants and stuff. And yeah, we didn't see it in this film.
The only thing I'll say in its defense is that it's set in Los Angeles, which is notoriously left-wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true, actually. That yeah. is fair.
Yeah, and I thought if I was a principal and I was Ubering around... he's just a school teacher, isn't he? Oh, he is the principal.
And he's the principal.
Yeah, and I was Ubering around two of my female students.
Yes.
Would I pick up on that they were watching porn if I heard it through the speakers?
Is this Cardi B?
I was like, yeah, is this Cardi B? I was like, shit, you know, the start, I'd be just thinking.
It wasn't that rhythmic.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I feel like she would have had a more of a serious beat to it.
Yeah. And
also, it was pretty intense.
It was not very musical.
No. Yeah.
Would you pick it up? Pick it up?
You know what
it was.
You?
That bit at the end where they start talking and there's a few giveaways.
Yeah, like a little bit in the middle or whatever. Yeah. She was just like, oh my God.
But that whole.
That I might have got. But otherwise, I don't know that I would have picked that up as what that was. I might have been like, is there something wrong with your phone and it's not sending the audio through? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm very innocent.
You are. You're being very innocent on this podcast. And I don't know what's happened to you in the space of the last time I talked to you, but I'm loving it.
My entire life changed, Sam.
That's true.
My entire life.
I couldn't even imagine anyway. What was happening at that moment. I was looking, what was that?
I suppose there is a point at which you're like, why would two girls that I teach at school be watching porn in my car? If you heard it, you'd be like, no,
this girl's watching porn.
It's so unreal that you'd think that can't be real.
Yeah, yeah. Or.
Yeah.
Or.
Is this the greatest? No.
Yeah. Especially when you know those two girls as being very nerdy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, that moves us over to question number four, which is the first of our Patreon questions. This question comes courtesy of the amazing man that is Dave Baker. Thank you, Dave. We love you. Dave has his own Patreon at patreon.com/yourfavorite, where he posts a ton of awesome content. There's a link down in the show notes. You guys should go all check it out. Dave's got two questions he poses to us, and one we've been running with a little bit too much lately, so I've decided to switch it over to the other one. And it's kind of easy this week to figure out, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, the question this week is, which character would have the best social media presence and on what platform?
I think it's probably easier this week because they're all like Gen Z kids, so they'll literally all be on all of the social media platforms or whatever. So I felt like Gigi was going to have the yes. best platform because she's insane.
Yeah.
And who knows what kind of stuff would end up on that thing. I figured Instagram. She seems like someone who just wants to take a photo, record it, and off you go. Although TikTok actually could.
Yeah.
I could see her on TikTok making just little random videos where you watched and you just went, wait, hold up, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I had Gigi as well. And Jared, I reckon, would have an awesome TikTok. And actually, but I'm pretty sure Hope would have about a million Instagram followers, so yeah. She'd probably have the best social media presence. Peaked in high school, though, so.
Hope was hot as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was amazingly casual when Amy didn't, you know, get the right spot.
Yeah, that was real chill.
She took a bit of time to say, yeah, I think you don't know what you're doing, but I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Maybe she'd already had sex with a whole bunch of men before that. Mm. Because I can tell you, Not necessarily from personal experience or anything. That happens way more than you'd like it to. Yeah. Okay, guys, like
we're going
to answer one of my questions.
Is that 50%? We're talking percent, 70, 80. Wait, hang on. Is it higher?
I am not going to answer that question.
90.
But
yeah, let's move on.
All I'm saying is, come on, guys, get it together.
Anywho, okay. The character for me, I would have gone with Jared. He's rich. He can afford to, like, put on that type of, I don't know, like, where do people get most jealous? Like, Dan Bilzerian or whatever, Bilzerian. People love his, like, Instagram, eh? People are, like, a massive fan of his because he's always posting photos of him with, like, ladies of the evening and on fancy yachts and with stacks of cash and stuff like that. I mean, that's what this guy is. That's how he lives his life. You know, he even says, they're like money can't buy you friends, and he's like, yes, it can. Dad, parents do it all the time. I was like, that guy would so be on Instagram. Like, look at all the shit I've got.
Look at my face on a t-shirt. Yeah. The side of t-shirt.
He would probably pay one of those like dodgy ass companies in somewhere in the world to like give him a million followers on Instagram.
Yes, yeah. Yes, he would.
He would.
That's so not what we do with this podcast, though, eh, Sam?
Hey, shut up. I don't even have Instagram for this podcast. I do have Instagram.
I hear ladies love the dad bod.
Not this one. But I do have a Instagram, and all it is photos of my baby. So if you want to find me on Instagram at Airborne Kiwi, you can go on there and have a look at photos of little baby Fern going swimming.
I want to look at pictures of your baby. I'm going to go and have a look.
Cool. Maybe not right now. Oh, she's gone. Anyway, that moves us over to question number 5, which is also a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of Julio of the Contrarians podcast, an awesome podcast that we love. These guys are great friends of the show, and Julio is just the most amazing man I've ever met in my entire life. Haha, machu. And anyway, Julio's podcast, Contrarians, they basically rage against Rotten Tomatoes machine, so they'd take a film that's beloved on Rotten Tomatoes, like this one, sitting at 97%, and they'd argue why it's rubbish. They basically go through the film, and then they do their Contrarians Corner where they sort of, you know, give their honest opinions about the film. And what Julio would like to know is what, Liz?
What is your most controversial opinion about this film?
Didn't need a lesbian as the main lead. Didn't need it. This film was good enough without it, and I think they were just trying to get more another angle on a film because they were worried that the girls would fall flat, and I think they overdid it. Didn't need it.
Yeah, that's definitely controversial. I could not.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say.
I could not disagree more.
Oh, man, that's the best, most controversial opinion.
So you feel like that?
Yeah, like
so. Just
it was a huge part of the film.
Yeah, like, it was a huge part. Like they didn't need it. It didn't need to.
It even worked really well for crushes both hooking up with each other, and like she had her whole coming out story. Like it was a big thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
When do you ever see like lesbians as the lead?
So let's just like analyze this opinion. Are you just saying they sort of unnecessarily spiced it up or gave it too much
of
a character?
Yeah, that's basically what I think. I think that because I think they just thought they wouldn't be interesting enough, but I thought they were interesting without that dimension.
That's some good pack pedaling.
So yeah, I think that they wanted to represent different people there, and I feel like there probably is a lot of teenage girls watching that going, oh my God, thank God that other people are worried about the same things as me, and I'm terrified about my first time with a woman and all that kind of stuff. I think it would have been awesome for those chicks to see that. So,
that's obviously pretty controversial, so I nailed it there.
Yeah, no, I can kind of see what you're trying to say there, maybe. Liz, I'm sorry, I actually think this is better than Superbad.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I think it's, like I watched it at the start of last year whenever it came out, and then rewatched it again, and it was way more enjoyable the second time around.
Maybe I'll have to give it another try. To be honest, I haven't actually watched Superbad in a while. So it might be that I go back, watch Superbad and go, this is problematic.
It is. It's so, a little bit problematic.
You've watched Little Women, and obviously something's wrong with your brain because Superbad is a way better film.
Nah. I'm sitting with that.
You're joking.
I'm going to have to go back and watch Superbad and then watch Booksmart again and just see what I think.
Well, what have you got there, Liz?
Yeah, I felt that the idea of this being like, I mean, you know, it's directed by a woman, so that's really great. And actually, Olivia Wilde wrote the film. So, like, you want to celebrate stuff like that, but there were definitely a few lines where I felt that they had been written by men, and it just sounded kind of awkward and like it was lines written for Superbad or something, where it was lines to make men think it was funny, where I was just kind of like, oh, you're ripping on feminism. That's awesome. I don't know. I just, there was definitely some bits of it that didn't jibe with me. And the other thing was it was very white feminism. It was very, you know, oh, look at us girls doing so great, going to these top colleges. And also there's one black guy in the movie and one Asian. Oh, sorry. Yeah, one black guy, one black woman. Like it just.
Pam Grier at the end
movie.
Going, these dude's ear.
So, like again, like you should think it would be like this big feminist thing, but it just didn't really do it for me.
Okay, fair enough. Cool.
Yeah. But in saying that, I love the script. Like there was some just real like weird lines that I ended up like that whole over complimenting part. Oh, it's cracking.
The compliments were amazing. I love those to death because actually, me and my friends do that a little bit as well. Like if I not quite to that level because that's next level. Yeah. But I really
I need better friends,
girls
man.
Do that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, girls. That's something that women do. We build each other up. And so I thought that was a really nice kind of example of that, actually.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Boys just try to get in with the first insult first day.
Anywho, that moves us over to question number 6. What is that, Machu?
Question number 6. Which side character would make for the best spin-off movie?
It's Gigi or Gigi or whatever her name is. She's fucking amazing.
Gigi.
She is the rich, other rich one percenter in this film, eh? Like the superiorly rich, her and Jared. And she just like pops up in the most random situations. She's got a packet full of cocaine, even though it's apparently not cocaine.
Yeah. It's the strawberries you need to watch out for.
But she snorts at the
Asian
same
way. Ayahuasca.
She snorts at the same, the Asian ayahuasca. She's like on drugs. She's just like, she's getting to these places ahead of these guys, even though she's not even leaving at the same time.
She plays piano.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's amazing.
It'd be a crazy hijinks movie. It'd be awesome.
It would be a crazy hijinks.
It'd be like, where's my car?
Yeah.
I think she'd be like, dude, where's my car?
But the problem is, like, do we like her because we've got so little of her? And, you know, if you got too much of her, would she become annoying? Do you know what I mean? It's like the Hangover movies where the first one only had a little bit of Alan and it was like, oh, you know, he's kind of random and funny and pops up and he's kind of cool. And then the second, third movie was just the Alan show and you're like, this guy sucks.
But it's like Harold and Kumar with Barney from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And more Barney is awesome. And just like,
you reckon?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can carry
I feel like she's the Luna Lovegood. Are you guys Harry Potter fans?
No, I'm just going to pretend like I am.
Anyway.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about right now.
Anyway, so Luna Lovegood's like the slightly weird Ravenclaw blonde girl in the Harry Potter.
Oh, place. She's not Toilet Girl, the one that comes in.
I don't know. Oh, no, you're talking Moaning Myrtle.
Ah, that's one.
And yeah, no, she was annoying. She was also like 40 when she filmed as like a student in that film. It was super weird.
That's awesome.
Anyway, back to the actual film.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
So my side character that I would choose for a spin-off movie is Jared, because I think it'd be interesting to pick up maybe a few years down the line when he's designing aeroplanes and also creating musicals. I feel like there could be quite some good little weird stories in
is
there.
Is he married
he could
to
maybe like make an aeroplane themed musical or I don't know.
Is he married to Molly?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Who knows? It'd be exciting to find out.
Does he still look after his rehab sister or?
Yeah, I think he'd do all that. Oh, yeah, like Gigi would be popping in and out of the film too, probably. So maybe that's the way to do
it. Does he have a maid that was he first introduced to him on his 14th birthday?
Oh, God.
That I think he would like to keep out of it.
Anywho, Machu.
So what about you, Machu?
Yeah, what's your one, Machu?
Okay, I had Pat the Pizza Guy, Taxi Drivers.
Oh, the murderer.
You want to see a murderer's movie?
It'd be like Dexter. Yeah. It'd be like Dexter.
Yeah, it'd be a straight up scary movie or whatever.
No, it's a series. He just goes around delivering pizzas and down, down, down. I've got a weapon. I've got a weapon with me and it's a gun.
He definitely had a couple of the best lines when he was just like, I could take you up to a cabin in the woods a few hours away and then I could like hog tie you and leave you with a saucer of milk and then I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What am I doing with this saucer? I guess I could lap it when I was like hogged. I don't know, but I thought it was quality. That was definitely one of my favorites.
Exactly. We're right beside the freeway. We could have you out in a shed in 45 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
And then like she leans over and she's like, oh, let me unlock my phone. He's like, oh, don't show me your pin. That's the whole point. And, like he's so annoyed about it. And then he turns out to be this psycho killer. So
it was all too easy.
Quality.
It was all
like
too
that.
Easy.
He liked a bit more of a challenge, I guess. He was like, oh, you guys are just giving it to me. Come on.
Play hard to get, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
That moves us over to question number 7, which is also a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of the amazing man that is Dan Brennick. Dan runs the Netflix and Swill podcast, a podcast in which they basically just run down whatever's happening on Netflix. So upcoming stuff, news, and all the latest movies, all that sort of stuff, and TV shows. It's great. And what Dan would like to know is, at what point during this film would you have inserted Blink-182's song All the Small Things into this film?
I thought driving them at graduation, and they were like, right, we're going to do this in 19-minute journey in 6 minutes. I thought that was quite a nice sort of, like when she puts it into gear and like goes to put her foot on the pedal, that's where you like could have kicked in with it, because I felt like that was quite a madcap kind of crazy scene. So I thought that would have a good vibe to it.
Yeah, that's a good one. What do you got, Machu?
I thought the part where the Asian ayahuasca kicked in and they shrunk
down.
Oh, that
saves me.
Oh, I had another. Yeah, but that was great. Like, all the small things, and they shrink and they become these little things. Barbie dolls.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Nice. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and they started admiring their bodies in the mirror. That was cracking me up.
Yeah, definitely.
That was so weird.
Definitely all the small things.
And I hate objectifying women, but here I am looking at myself and I think I'm amazing.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious, but she was just like, this is terrible, but also so smooth. Yeah. Look at these breasts. You know, like, see, that wouldn't have been as good if she wasn't a lesbian, much.
Yeah, what's that?
Because she wouldn't have appreciated her own body the same.
Oh, they both appreciated it. They were asking, where was their vagina?
No, but like the lesbian one was just like, oh, it was at the start like, oh yeah, objectifying women is terrible, blah, blah, blah. But then she was like, ah, oh, but look at my body. I'm so sexy. This is amazing. Which I don't think she would have done if she wasn't a lesbian.
That's true.
So boom.
There you go.
Oh.
That's why she had to be a lesbian. Yeah, for the weird
still,
doll.
Still thought it could have done without it.
Asianiska scene. What was the drug?
Asian ayahuasca.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same. So let's move over to the next question, which is question number 8. What is it there, Liz?
Okay, question number 8. What quote from this film would be the worst to hear straight after finishing having sex?
I like it that your mum thinks we're boning. I was like, ugh. That would be awful. I like it how your mum thinks we're boning, and then that'd be the worst thing someone could say to me after sex.
Yeah.
But you are boning.
Yeah, but my mum, thinking about my mum, thinking
mum
about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My one,
what about you, Sam?
My one was prepare to get bashed in a fun way, like consensually bashed. I mean, consensually bashed. It should say prepare to get consensually bashed.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm okay with that one. Because it's consensual.
Consensual. Oh, yeah, got a point there.
They're forcing consent on you there, Liz. You're not really consenting to it. They're saying you're consensually going to get bashed. I'm like, the fuck? I haven't consented to shit.
So you don't like to get like bashed?
Consensually.
It's not a sexual thing for you. Yes, totally, but not bashed.
Well, there you go.
Bashed,
then it would be consensual, Sam, in your face.
Bashed. What kind of just bashed, but not bashed,
I
just bashed.
Consenting to all those guys who used to bash me outside the school tuck shop for my fucking pie every lunchtime.
Give them your 20 cents then.
Oh, I didn't have 20 cents. I had enough to buy a pie, and then by the end of that line, I had no pie. So.
Well, I went for a more surreal approach to mine.
Yes.
I went with blood attracts lions. I'm saving lives.
Yeah. Anywho, that moves us over to question number 9. What is there, Machu?
So question number 9 is, what thing did you notice in this film that you don't think other people might have immediately noticed?
I noticed that the executive producer, well, one of the executive producers on the film was Will Ferrell.
Yep.
Yeah, I was surprised. I saw that in the credits and I thought.
Because Olivia Wilde's not linked. Like, has she done any films with him or anything?
No.
Like, they're not like part of the same cool crowd or anything.
No, this is her first time directing, and I can't think of any films that she's been in with him off the top of my head. But Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, who was the other executive producer, produced quite a lot of comedies. They were a producing couple that only just broke up in the last year or two.
Well, I thought it was really cool that he got behind this script and went for it. Yeah,
and
they sort of
hooked up on Anchorman and then produced films from then until last couple of years. Like, they produced Big Short and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Sweet.
The one for me is that casting was done by Alison Jones. And exactly, she's the casting director. I'm just going to...
Yeah, I've never heard of her.
Never heard of Alison Jones. Right, okay. But these are all the shows in which she was the head casting director for. See if you notice something. Cuban Enthusiasm, The Good Place, Bombshell, Wine Country, What We Do in the Shadows TV series, Arrested Development, Booksmart, A Simple Favor, Mid-90s, Life of the Party, Love, Eighth Grade, Daddy's Home 2, Daddy's Home, Unicorn Store, Lady Bird, The House, Kubo and the Two Strings, Ghostbusters 2016, Veep, Popstar, Never Stopping, The Boss, Hard, Spy,
she's got good links.
Tammy, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, okay, so she's right in with that, like, Lonely Island crowd.
Yes.
And also, but
Adam
then
McKay.
There's, like, Brie Larson with Unicorn, and the Michael Schur crowd as well with, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
yep.
Good Place.
The Way Way Back,
is that what you were
This
telling
Is
me
40, The Campaign, The Dictator, He's Bound and Down, Bridesmaids,
wow.
Paul, The
Man,
Other Guys,
really been over the shop.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, The Office TV series, Funny People, Bruno, Parks and Rec, I Love You Man, Step Brothers, Semi Bro, Hot Rod, Knocked Up, Borat, Talladega Nights, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay, so Spin every City. Single if, film or comedy that I've loved,
exactly,
she's cast
she
it.
Is, wow. She's been at it since 1985, and she's pretty much cast a ton of like the most famous sort of like comedies that anybody's even seen. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, now, I felt that was really weird how when I was reading about it, that she was like prominent right at the start about who the casting agent was. And I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No.
I was just like, oh, that's weird. Not knowing who she was, obviously.
Yeah, she honestly casts for so many of these comedies. And if I ever get a chance to interview her for this podcast, absolutely will. Now, the one that a lot of people do notice that maybe you guys probably didn't notice, but I'm going to try and blow your minds on this is, okay, so Olivia Wilde directed this, right? So she's got her husband in it, who's Jason Sudeikis.
Oh,
another
yeah,
famous
yeah.
family member, Gigi, is actually Carrie Fisher, aka Princess Leia's daughter.
Huh.
And we've talked about how this is super bad. Who, you know, Jonah Hill's character in this is a lot like Beanie Feldstein's character, right?
Yep.
Molly?
Yeah. Yep.
They're brother and sister.
No.
Yes, they are brother and sister.
Full brother and
Full
sister.
Full brother and sister.
Jonah yeah. Hill. And Beanie Feldstein. I had no idea.
Crazy, eh? Follow
well,
that, boy.
Jeepers. Well, I noticed that all the girls were like Nigel Nomates in this film, eh? Like, they were just like loners. And even the two main characters at the end, they split up and went their own way. Like, Triple A, she was like, who was her mate? She didn't have another girlfriend. Ryan was just.
You're right. There wasn't like
Ryan was just hanging out with Hope, was just locked in a toilet. Like, all these girls were like loners, they were all on their own. What were they up to?
It wasn't like Mean Girls. Mean Girls had like a whole group
what
of places.
What was Miss Fine up to? She had
like,
no mate. She wasn't even hanging out with other girls.
But don't you think it would have been weird because there's such different group type girls? It would have been weird if they were hanging out with each other. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's not weird in other films.
Oh, yeah. They shouldn't have hung out with each other. But it does, he's
and,
right.
And like, Mean Girls, you had clusters. You know, they had groups of girls. Girls
yeah, don't clusters.
You know, how often do girls go to the toilet and you meet like probably the hottest girl at the party and other girls? Jumping in the pool just by herself.
Oh. Yeah, Gigi didn't have any friends. Yeah, right.
At school as well, you know, you didn't see the girls hanging in clusters there too much either. No, I think that's
a really
good. But
the boys all broed down.
Yeah, they were all one big group, basically. Yeah.
They all
Even the gay boys,
together,
they
the
all hung
just...
with, they had their team and the other boys had their team. But the girls, eh? Oh, Naomi Nomates.
Yeah. And that moves us down to question number 10, which is, which side / background character straight up had their life ruined as a result of the events in this movie?
I am going with Miss Fine.
God damn it!
Anyone else can. Was that what you were going to say too much?
I'm trying to figure out how, but yeah, carry on.
Well, because she, I think she had sex with that guy who was basically a student. He hadn't graduated yet. So if anyone reports that, then she is going to be fired for like sex with a minor and be put on like the predator list.
You guys got it wrong. It's Theo. His life is getting wrecked. Like what she was.
Well, that
she
was my other
always.
Well.
She was always like she said she's been kicked out of every Jamba Juice. Her 20s were crazy. She's turning up to parties. Her life needs to be stopped. That woman. But poor Theo.
Well, I mean, she is the predator in the situation.
Theo, he's the victim, and he's the one going off to Google. I mean, I hope he goes after this big scandal. Like, Google's not going to want him.
But hasn't he 20 or something in this film because he's failed class like 3 years?
Yeah, but he's still her student.
And there's still a scandal.
I know all that. But yeah, I feel like her life was ruined. I was there with you, Liz, as well, because like Mucha just said, she's been banned from Jamba Juices and all that sort of stuff. But
that is the worst thing.
But no. But now, like, she's clearly tried to turn her life around, and then one invite to a party with the nerdiest girls in her school who she never would have expected would lead her back down this path of alcoholism.
Oh, you reckon they invited
insanity.
Her when she was sitting in the
no,
car?
No, she didn't get invited. Yeah. She specifically said, hey, it'd be funny if I came in, and they're like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I know they didn't invite her. I'm just saying that like she wouldn't have ended up there if she hadn't gone to pick these girls up. It was like they've led her to the situation where she's like, oh, shit.
So was it their fault? She gave
me
their number.
No, it wasn't their fault. It was
She was like, ring me. And, oh, yes,
it was like
Saturday night, party time.
Are you familiar
with Gilmore Girls or Predatory Sex with a Student? Gilmore Girls, Predatory Sex with a Student. Oh, big decision.
Anyway, that was just my opinion. Also, I also sort of wonder about Amy as well, about whether she'd still get let into colleges if she's got a criminal record.
Ah, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I wondered that when she was, like, getting arrested. I was like, have you thought this through, though?
Yeah,
heavy.
But she is a main character, so we can't really touch on her. Anywho, that moves us over to our personal questions, which questions we thought of while looking at this film. Now, Machu, you start us off this week. What do you got there, bro?
During the film, the main characters go to, I think, three parties. Which party do you think was the best?
I wonder if me and Liz are going to be the same on this one. I like the murder mystery. I like taking Agent Aya Kosker and turning into a doll. Oh, yeah, that sounds awesome to me.
Just the drugs, eh? Just the drugs.
No. Oh, yeah, totally. No, no, no. The thing about it for me is just, like, I've never been to a murder mystery party. And I've got this, like, you know how everybody, like, watches somebody doing something and they're like, I could totally do that. I've got this thing where I, like, watch detectives and stuff on TV. I was like, I could solve this crime ages ago. I am a detective master. So at murder mysteries, I'd be the guy that walked in and be like, right, what do you do? Right, what do you do? Okay, it was this guy. He did it with the candlestick in the conservatory. With, you know, Professor Plum. Done.
So I agree that looked like a cool party. But actually, if I could go to any of those three parties, I would have gone to the first one.
What, the boat?
Oh, I reckon the boat's
if it
awesome.
Had people. Because you got a freaking free iPad. And there was like, you know, he would have had champagne and stuff. And it would have been awesome, like doing a booze cruise on there, as long as there were people there.
And that's where they got
if it
that.
Was just the people there who were there, then that would have been a bit shit.
And that's where they got the Asian ayahuasca as well. That's where the Asian ayahuasca was.
No, I don't know. That was at the murder mystery.
Oh, was it the murder mystery?
Yeah, it was the murder mystery.
Damn
it.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were with
the
Gigi. They were with Gigi the whole time.
Vitamins and her B12.
They're with Gigi anyway, so she had some goodies everywhere, I think.
I've partied on a boat before. It's right.
What did you do?
Oh, I just found a boat and just went out for a fucking hoon.
I don't think that's the same.
And there's a reason why I'm not allowed back in Greece. Anyway, what's the next question?
Question number 12. Have you, during the film, the girls jump into the car with Pat the pizza guy. Have you ever jumped into a car with a stranger or had a stranger jump into your car and had a bit of a weird experience?
I actually have had a stranger jump into my car. Yeah, I
ran
was
over
in
a dude.
Auckland and no, I did not run him over. I was I went to the Nines in Auckland. Yeah, on the Sunday, I was driving down K Road and I stopped at the lights and this random dude in like a costume, I can't even remember what it was. I think he might have been like, "Where's Wally?" Like just opened my car door and got in. And I was just like, "Can I help you, sir?" He was like, "Oh yeah, can you just give me a ride to like Ellerslie or something?" No, actually he wanted to go, I think, quite nearby, but I was about to turn off to the motorway and go the complete opposite direction. And I was just like, "Actually, I'm going to Papakura and I'm not planning to stop the car until I get there. So you can stay in or you can get out and you've got about 3 seconds to do so before this light turns green." And he was just like, "Oh, thanks anyway." Went down and then ran off across the road. I was just like, okay.
Check out the balls.
That's New Zealand, right? Yeah. Like, you just don't freak out when a dude jumps in your car.
Check out the balls.
Especially not Wes Wallace.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a man after my own heart trying to scab a free ride, eh? Trying to save $10 on getting the
text. I was just like, look, legit cool, mate. And clearly I just have a nice looking face or something where he just went, "That girl looks nice. I'm going to ask her for a ride."
That's pretty awesome. I was driving back from my uncle's farm and I saw a hitchhiker on the side of the road and I thought, yeah, fuck it. Pulled over, picked him up. He was a sort of nice old fellow, and we were driving up the road, and he was just like, "Oh, thank you so much for picking me up. It's a pretty hard day. I've just been at the courts in Tamarindui," and I was like, "Oh, this is a bit of a weird way to start a conversation. I've picked up a guy who's just been in courts." And
what was his name?
I don't know.
Maybe I know.
Yeah, you probably do. But he was like, he was sort of an older fellow.
We were just
driving along, and I was like, "Oh, you've been in the courts?" And he goes, Yeah. "Look, it's nothing to worry about. I just got busted with some marijuana plants." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, Yeah. So I've just had...
Oh, definitely in Tamarindui.
Yeah. So he's like, "Oh..."
That happens all the time in Tamarindui.
I had to go to court. You know, they busted me for these marijuana plants and stuff. And I've been trying to argue it and trying to get out of it. And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And he goes, "You don't smoke, do you?" And I was like, "Oh, nah, not really." He goes, "Oh, I was just going to smoke this joint." And I was like, "You took marijuana with you to court trial about marijuana?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" I was like, "There's no way this guy's going to rob me because he's too dumb to realize how to rob me, I think."
I wasn't going to answer this question, but it reminded me, reminded me of one time I was hitchhiking. I was young and I was going to go see my girlfriend and I had no way to get there except to hitchhike. So I'd never really done it before and I was out on the road and this car stopped and I came to the window and the guy was wearing black boots, black jeans, black jersey, gloves, and a balaclava.
Wow.
And he was like, "Where are you going?" I was like, "The mountain." And he goes, "Jump in." And I did.
Oh, my God. God. When he said, where are you going? I'd be like, away from this car right
he
now.
He drove for about 60 seconds and then they pulled off his balaclava. And the whole time, he was like, sorry about the balaclava, but my two windows have broken and it's just so cold in here, I need a balaclava. And I was like, oh, so not only have you just robbed someone, but you've stolen their car. I was like, oh, my God.
Why is there somebody in his handbag in the backseat, bro?
Yeah. It was this huge guy in the small car and just, you know, at the goodness,
both my windows
the goodness
are broken
of his heart, picked up a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're brave
young
as hell.
Young and
like
dumb.
He's not brave, he's just dumb.
I was just really wanted to get to my girlfriend's place. it would have taken me at least 30 minutes to walk there, and of course it only took me 5-minute drive. Anyway, question number
13.
In this film, everyone seems to have going to college. So how does everyone get into college? Is this the greatest school ever?
Like, they weren't even just getting into college. They were getting into, like, the top 20 colleges in the country. That was such bullshit. Like, it was just complete and utter bollocks.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon somebody's just trolled all these kids.
Oh, like just sent them fake acceptance letters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, there's some kid there that didn't get into anywhere. Maybe it was Nick or something. And he was like, ah, fuck all these guys. And he's just sent them fake acceptance letters.
No, it's Jared.
Oh, yeah, Jared. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jared would have had the money to, like, get all the right letterheads and things. You know, like, he would have done it really professionally. And he never talked about going to college, I don't think. He just said he was going to go design airplanes and write music.
Yeah. And that moves me over to my set of three questions. Now, you know, we touched on them. Most of these kids in this movie are pretty much insufferable dickheads. But what do you guys reckon? Who do you reckon was the worst? Who do you reckon was the most insufferable dickhead throughout this film?
It's got to be Molly. Surely,
really?
Molly. How could she? Oh. She is.
No, she was a bitch.
She's a bitch.
She was a bitch. That doesn't make her insufferable.
I feel like the fact that you're such a bitch makes you the most insufferable person. I think those two go hand in hand. Easily the worst.
I don't know. I've suffered a few.
Oh, no, see, I like bitches.
Yeah, same. Yeah, exactly.
I like me some bitch. I am a bitch.
Yeah.
And proud.
So. I'm not called mates with Liz. So clearly, I think this is mine.
Damn right. Yeah, if that makes me insufferable, so be it. I thought maybe Theo, actually.
I had Theo as well.
Really annoyed me.
Yeah.
He just kept hitting on his teacher. I was just like, you're gross. And you're just, I didn't like his hair because I don't like long hair on men. And I just found him a big, dumb moron.
He was incredibly frustrating.
And yeah.
I couldn't stand.
I just didn't like him at all.
I couldn't stand Hope either.
What? Yes, Hope?
She frustrated the hell out of me. She was just mean for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she was probably super insecure as well, but just didn't, you know, like teenage girls are all insecure.
Yeah, I suppose.
And so she was a bitch to cover it up. But yeah, she was real mean.
She was real mean.
But honestly, I feel like you could have taken Theo out of the film and it would have made no difference to the film whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true. Moves me over to my next question. Now, in this, Amy's pretty paranoid about her first same-sex experience. Now, just presuming here with you guys, but how bad do you guys reckon you'd be at your first same-sex experience?
I'd be real confident. Like, I just think I'd be like, yeah, I know what I'm doing here.
I know how
I'm
this
is. I'm so good at it. Like, I've got two kids, so I've had sex at least twice. I reckon, you know, I know what I'm doing. I know what I like. You've only had one kid, so you've only had... You can only prove it you've done it once. So I've got to be better than you at it. So, yeah, I'd be confident going in. I know what I like and I reckon I can give some pleasure. And you've got to be, in this situation, you've got to be the receiver, I reckon. Oh, no, the receiver, the giver. So, oh, you have to. Like,
you know, same sex isn't just necessarily about, like, penetrative sex, though, right, Matthew?
Oh, yeah. But,
I love it when you drink bourbon. This is amazing.
No, like, you got to be confident.
What are you talking about right now? I'd be confident. I'd be great. I'll listen to you.
I reckon, you know, boys just know what boys like. It's sort of like the same with girls, I reckon. Girls know what girls like.
Sam, how do you know that I haven't already had my first same-sex
Exactly.
experience?
I'm just presuming here.
Someone's making assumptions.
Yes.
I've kissed a few girls in my time and they loved it.
Okay, Katy Perry.
I think.
Wait.
No, look, I've kissed a few girls at university and stuff and that was all good. But, like, nah, I completely understand Amy's terror. Like, yeah, it's easy for dudes. Like, not a lot complicated there. Like, you just do the thing and then you're banging in there and then you're, you know, not difficult. Yeah, nah.
Okay, mm-mm. Next question. I think even I've gone red and I asked the fucking question. What's wrong with me? Next question is, eventually Amy's going to end up college. Molly's going there straight away. You know, we've seen them be these prim and proper girls all through high school. But I want to know from you guys, which of the two leads do you reckon there's a bit of funkiness in them? Like, which one do you reckon is going to become a total trash bag at college? And I mean that in the best way possible. Like a total party animal, a total legend.
The answer for me is Molly, and that is because she is the most like me. And when I went to college, I was a big trash bag. I just partied like four nights a week. I failed a bunch of papers. I was just all about the drinking. I had those sexy purple pants we've talked about previously. Yeah, there was some bit of hot mess there for a little while. So, yeah, I think Molly would just turn up there and just be like, holy shit.
Yeah, I can see it. So I can see it, Molly. I can totally see it.
I'm going to go Amy, because I just think all that repressed things about, you know, a girl that's dealing with her sexuality, I reckon it's just all going to come out and she's just going to turn into this like amazing legendary booze hag slash,
I could, you know, see
she
it,
goes so, she's gone yeah. straight to the end at the start of her sexual experience. Hey, she didn't stop at go. She went
straight to the rear end.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like she just needs to fill in the middle and then she'd become a legend.
Yeah, I can definitely see a bit of freak in that geek, because you all know them, man. I knew tons of geeks at school that turned into like nut jobs. Mm. Like me. Never stopped. Anywho, Liz, what's your questions?
Okay, question 17. How would you find out whether Ryan was a lesbian?
Because the debate that Amy was having throughout this was whether she was a lesbian or not, and she was trying to work it out. And
yeah, she didn't know what questions to ask, or like if so, with the whole thing about would you be comfortable going to Botswana?
Yeah, yeah. I think Amy actually answered it herself at one point when Molly was going on about like you could scissor her, and then Amy goes, scissoring isn't a thing. So what Amy could ask her is, what do you think about scissoring? And then if she was like, oh, here it's really good, she'd be like, it isn't a thing. I know you're not a lesbian.
Oh. Pretty deep. I reckon I just drop some jokes and see whether she laughs or if she gets offended. It'll be like,
or slaps you.
I feel hotter than a nun in a cucumber farm.
I would slap you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, like.
Yep.
What's next?
All right. Question 18. Who had the worst outfits? I mean, they were all terrible, but which ones did you have the most?
Molly's sequin outfit at the end was ridiculous. The one she got off Miss Fine, I don't know what Miss Fine is doing rolling around with outfits like that, but that sequiny green thing with the white collar, oh my God, that was bad.
Very Orphan Annie to me. It was
I
not
didn't
good.
Mind it, because they were trying to look like dork, whereas Jared was trying to look like a legend, and he actually thought he had an unlimited amount of money, and that's what he chose to wear. Like a shirt of his own face within a picture of his own face, and yeah. It just got worse and worse. And every scene, it was awful.
Yeah, even at his graduation, he had still his like hat on underneath the mortarboard, yeah. And yeah, he just was such a tool. And question 19. So this film is obviously set now, so the film is all about Gen Zers. It made me feel really old. Like, holy crap. Like, I am barely scraping to be a millennial. So, yeah, that was a painful situation for me. What about you guys? What scene made you feel
all
old?
Of them? Because it revolves around a lot around...
Sam, we're so old.
Yeah, I know. But it revolves a lot around them going to college. And, like, you know, they're like, talking about American college and stuff like that. And I was thinking to myself, it'd be so cool to go to American college. Like, all these movies have made it seem so awesome. And then I was like, you'd be older than, like, some of the professors there. Why the hell would you want to go to college?
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Sort your life out.
I thought the scene where Jason Sudeikis, he was in the taxi and the girls jump in there and they're just so shocked that he's driving the Uber taxi. And I actually downloaded the Uber app when Uber came to Tauranga, and I was going to try and become an Uber driver. And I thought that's, you know, it's a, you know, if you're out,
anything to get out of the house there, bro.
If you're out and you're going to like the shops and someone wants a ride, just pick them up and, you know, you can make a little bit of money on the way home. I thought that was like a, you know, maybe it's the maturity in me thinking about money a little bit more, just to get in a little bit of extra cash. And I thought, oh, is that what young people think about Uber drivers? Like, yeah. Oh, I'm so old. I actually thought that was like a legitimate way to make some money.
Cool, and that moves us down to the end, which is our final question, which is our listener question. which is a question we threw out there to you guys to answer for us, but we'll get to you guys' answers soon. So these two make it seem like pretty fun. Well, not really, actually. Who am I kidding? But these two go on a crazy night out.
Gigi does.
Yeah.
Gigi
looks like she'd be fun to have a crazy night out with. But I was trying to think of like other films that would be awesome. Like if you could have a chance to go out with some of these characters from another film, who would it be, you know, go out with a crazy night with? So yeah, that's basically the question. What film's characters would you most like to go out on a crazy night with?
So the film I choose is This Is the End.
Really?
Because they have the most insane time. And there's literally every celebrity pretty much in Hollywood in that film. So, like, even if I didn't like Michael Cera or Jonah Hill or Seth Rogen or whatever, I'd just go find another one. I'd go hang out with Rihanna or Channing Tatum or Emma Watson.
But they're all such narcissistic assholes.
Yeah, I think it'd be hilarious. I'm only going out for one night with them. True. And they'd probably give me, like, Cristal and, you know, we'd drink all the fancy champagne and go to all the fancy clubs. I think it'd be interesting as hell.
That's true. You'd be able to blackmail the hell out of them afterwards as well. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd be taking photos. Yeah, good times. Hopefully, though, if the world doesn't end, not be ideal. I mean, it looks like it's going to any day now because of the thing we're not talking about.
It's
but
true. It's
that,
true. What about you, Machu?
Baywatch, the new Baywatch.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Because, you know, just the adventures.
Is that just because it's got hot girls, Machu?
It does. It does. But it's also got like adventures. So, you know, you go out with them and suddenly Dwayne The Rock Johnson will find something happening and then we have to solve crime. And that would be a crazy night.
But then you have to hang around with Zac Efron, who was a total douche.
Yeah. And that's funny, though. I think that's hilarious. And watching him get drunk and being all spew, McSpew.
Well, Sam, you hated our answers.
I don't even have one.
Oh, that's terrible.
Go, Marvel. Come on, go Marvel. You always do.
Nah, I don't want to go Marvel.
You want to hang out with Thanos
The Hangover would be fucking horrible as well. I'm just going to be boring and predictable. I'd like to go out drinking with the characters from Thor Ragnarok. I want Korg. I want Loki. I want Thor.
I want Thor. If you go out drinking with Thor, I am there. That guy is so
there
fun.
We go. And we've got Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie, who's fucking awesome as well. She's
Valkyrie
an alcoholic
would be cool to drink with.
Hit the piss, man. You'd be able to get in a spaceship. You'd be able to travel around.
She's badass. Yeah,
she's awesome. Travel around the stars. Ooh, get on the
Jeff Goldblum. He's great in that film.
Yeah. He's
like, that character
creepy
would be
for
insane.
My liking. We've got Stan Lee giving me a haircut. That'd be pretty cool. Now we're going to throw it out there to you guys, our listeners who gave us answers to the question. So let's roll through them. Paul from the Countdown Podcast said Basic Instinct. What a surprise there, Paul, but great answer. Colby Mack said This Is the End. There you go, Liz. Someone else for you. Emily Higgins from the Tasteless Podcast said Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again, because I want to live in that movie, but I'd get Cher and Lily James and Amanda Seyfried and 80 other delights.
I mean, I wouldn't mind living on a Greek island, and Amanda Seyfried seems fun.
Yeah. There you go, Emily. Bit of a lukewarm response. Much as just staring at me like, what am I supposed to say to that?
Mamma Mia.
Okay. Really?
Tara Maholic said the guys from Super Troopers.
Ah, yeah, that's good.
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
Done, meow.
Our good friend Gillian Ashton, who is just the most amazing woman on the world, sorry, Liz, said, obviously, Bucky, the guy's not had a decent night out in a few decades, plus his best friend dumped him. That's Bucky from Winter Soldier. Oh. And also said, Morph Vandervolt from Velvet Buzzsaw. Haven't even seen that. And Auntie Entity, because this is obviously going to end up in a fight. I'm not even sure who Auntie Entity is. Oh, God, I'm doing lame. Anyway, I replied to her and said, don't know, Bucky's idea of a night out might be killing someone's parents. To which she replied, he's chill now, don't worry about it. Thanks, Gillian, you rock. Dan went with Billy Lord's character as the obvious answer from this movie, being Gigi, but I meant from any film, and he said, oh, I see, when the obvious is these guys, and he rolled with the Anchorman posse.
Oh,
yeah, man, I want to see Brick throwing a trident and killing someone.
Exactly. That'd be a crazy night out.
That'd be sick. Him.
The cinema guys basically said, I mean, who wouldn't want to party with Def? And he's put up Def from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Ah, yes.
Interesting answer. Kiwi Man said the guys from Old School. Shane said the crew from Knocked Up. Stacey Hurley, oh my gosh, you opened Twitter, said the Bridesmaids girls.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that'd be super fun. Yeah.
Shit in the middle
especially
of the street.
Especially if Kristen Wiig's characters like hopped up on CC and Dry and Painkillers.
I just want to go eat some Mexican with them in a dodgy place, that's all.
Exactly. Flick it over there to Facebook, where we've got a couple of answers that I'll briefly run through. Mina Harker said, I'm going back to my youth, but I'm choosing the entire cast of Empire Records, especially the trio of sexy ladies.
Have you seen the new Empire Records, the show?
There's a new one.
Well, there's a film, Lenny Kravitz's daughter's in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Zoe Kravitz?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So, yeah, it's basically the same concept, but with her.
Interesting. She said close second to Stephen Baldwin and Paulie Shaw from Biodome, Three Mahi Mahi. It's like, oh, good on you, Mina. Nick McAllister said Harley Quinn or Animal from the Muppets.
Oh, yeah, crazy.
Oh, my God.
He's going for one hell of a crazy night out. Julio from The Contrarians basically said, I think the Avengers have proven they know how to party. Good on you, Julio. You got my back. You're the man, bro. I love you.
Let's just review another 15 Marvel films.
Eat a dick. Topher from We Watch The Thing podcast said, Bill Nighy, station manager from Pirate Radio / The Boat That Rocked. You'd be able to skip the line at every club or bar in London and undoubtedly Scarface levels of cocaine. That's a good point there, Toph.
That'd probably be the same if you hung out with Bill Nighy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would probably go for that, Bill Nighy.
He'd be fun. Billy Mack.
Exactly. Yeah. Shaq. I love you, Shaq. Talking about things that we're not allowed to talk about, he said, I'd probably go with the gang from Contagion given the circumstances.
At least one of you is immune to the virus.
At least one of us is thinking smartly. Good on you, Shaq. Final one is something really special. Nicholas Haskins from the Epic Film Guys said Shaun and Ed from Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
go down the Winchester.
I think Harley Quinn and Animal wins it for me, eh?
Really? I reckon the crew from Contagion is pretty smart, given the... I don't know. What about you, Liz? Was there any standouts for you?
I think I'm going to go with the last one, actually. The guys from Shaun of the Dead.
That's a good...
Because then if everything turns really feral, those guys have got your back.
Exactly. The reason why I bring up Nick is actually going to be on an episode next week of Emily Higgins from the Tasteless podcast. We're going to do an episode on American Psycho, so why not go out and get a pair of American Psychos to review it with me? Oh, damn it, I've made that joke. I was going to make it in the podcast. Ah, fuck it, I'll recycle it. But the other touching and awesome thing about Nick is he's actually doing a live stream for The Cure again this year. This is a yearly event that he puts on in which he live streams himself and other Epic Film Guys and other podcasts for 40 whole hours in order to raise money for cancer. So last year they raised $7,500. Me and Stacey went on and did a half hour segment. We have been promoted. We've been given a primetime slot for an hour that you guys can join me on it if you want, but we are basically going to be doing live stream for The Cure, and that's in May. I think it's May. I'm pretty shit when it comes to dates, but we've got a promo that's going to play straight after this, and I'll be plugging it a lot more before we get to that time. And yeah, you'll be able to watch us live on Twitch. Would you be interested? No, actually, I'm not asking you to come on.
There's no filter on this?
No capability of editing him out, yeah. You wouldn't get to edit out a single thing.
We'll have Liz on there.
If I'm still in self-isolation.
I'll get the most money.
If I'm still in self-isolation from travelling back over, then yeah, get me on. I'll be wanting something to do.
Awesome. Just as a sneak preview of what we're going to do, last year we did questions that can be applied to any movie. So like, what movie would beat you up and take your lunch money, or what movie would be totally into some, you know, S&M or something like that. But the cool thing about last year is when we did it, there was a ton of people watching that gave in their answers. So what we're going to do this year is we're going to ask the questions, and then we're going to just basically do what we've just done for the listener question, where we just judge people's answers. So anyone that's watching us, anyone that's playing along, will be able to give us their answers. We'll be able to judge them accordingly. Maybe even chuck in what we probably would have answered to that question. We're just going to get through as many questions as we can in our 50 minutes that have been allotted to us. So that's going to be the show.
Make sure you read out all my answers.
No, I'm not going to read out any of your answers. But anyway, yeah, that takes us.
I'd say he's just going to literally mute your account. So that
Man, Shaq, I'll have three accounts going. You won't be able to mute all three.
I'll find a way. Anywho, that takes us down to the end. Thanks again to these guys for coming on and talking about Booksmart. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. It's been awesome to talk about a couple of really good female-directed films. Even if the Oscars aren't giving them the credit they deserve, at least Sam is, so that's something.
Yeah.
And it's great to have you on the podcast, because it's normally me, Sam, and Kahu, and they're just... And give us a bit of a pull us back into line.
Just too much. Pull us back into line. All of you, very manly men. Yeah. You needed a bit more estrogen in here.
Yeah, you've been very good at keeping up, Liz. Stacey just ignores and moves on. But yeah, as I said, upcoming episode next week featuring those two guys for American Psycho. Haven't picked out what we're going to do after that. But depending on what happens with things going on in the world, we might actually have to take a bit of a break. But yeah, until then, we're just going to keep plugging your ear holes with ridiculous content. So yeah, that's thanks from me.
Chip.
Thank you from me.
Bye.
Can you imagine a world immune to all forms of cancer?
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for our fourth annual live stream for the cure.
And this year, we need your help more than ever.
Please join us May 27th through May 31st for 48 hours of live content from guests and podcasts around the world.
We'll be aiming for our most ambitious goal to date as we try to raise $10,000 for the Cancer Research Institute.
Please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com for more information on this year's event and how you can be a part of it. Together, we can make a difference.